Let's take our Bibles and look in Jeremiah, once again, Jeremiah 29, as we continue to do a reading commentary through this prophet, Jeremiah, that the Lord raised up to preach to a very rebellious people of Israel and many other false prophets in his day that were contradicting the message that the Lord gave him to preach. And I dare say that's the same today. Any that's declaring the glory of Christ is going to find many that are preaching another message, another Jesus, another God. But nonetheless, God honors only one message, and that which is in accord with his word concerning his son. But here in verse 15, where we left off last time, verse 15, down to verse 20, we read, "Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon, know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord." There were other prophets besides Jeremiah who were preaching the truth, and yet here were many others that were false prophets. And so when he says here in verse 15, concerning your brethren, which have not gone out with you into captivity, verse 16. There were many among the exiles in Babylon that believed that those who had not yet been carried into captivity were somehow better than those who had been taken away. That was the thought. And Christ addressed this when they came and told him about those whose blood had been mixed with the sacrifices at the temple by Pilate. And the Lord said, don't think that you're any better because you didn't die. Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. But because there were three different times that Nebuchadnezzar came down into Judah and carried away captives, the first had already gone, and Ezekiel would have been of that number carried away, that somehow those that remained in the land were better than those that had been carried away captive. And likely there were prophets in the land, just like we have preachers today of health, wealth, and prosperity. There were prophets in the land that were likely preaching, making people think that because they had not yet been taken into captivity, that they wouldn't somehow face severe judgment. But the Lord, and this is the word of the Lord there in verse 17, likens those that remain behind to a basket of rotten figs. You've already seen this in Jeremiah 24 when we're reading that the parable of the baskets of figs. Here it's repeated again. Lest any should think too highly of themselves, that here the Lord describes them for who they are, that those who remained in Jerusalem and Judah were like the rotten figs, not good ones as they perhaps perceived themselves to be. And ultimately, their fate, their judgment, was to be a curse, as it says there in verse 18, when they were removed. So it wasn't a question of if, but when. That their fate would be a curse, an astonishment, a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations. When people would see how these were taken out, they would marvel. How it is, like people today, they question God's judgment. How could God do this to his creatures? Well, he's a holy God, a just God. And here the reason is given, because they have not heeded my words, says the Lord. Now, among these, you can see in verse 16, know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David. There was still a king reigning at this point. This would have been Zedekiah, one of the last of the kings that Babylon had approved and put in place. But even here, the word of the Lord was that don't envy even the king or his state who sits on the throne of David, nor that of the people that were still in the land, because none of them would escape. And why? Because they have not heeded my words, saith the Lord. That's why he says that in verse 19, because they have not hearkened to my words. They were had physical ears to hear, but no heart to hear. Neither would they hear. This is where people try to find fault with God. Well, if he doesn't give them a heart to hear, then it must be God's fault. No. They would not. He will not come, is what Christ said to the Pharisees, that you might have eternal life. And so, it wasn't as if those already taken in captivity were somehow worse than those that had remained, or that those that remained were somehow more righteous than those that had been taken into captivity. Let's read then verse 21 down to verse 23. This is the message then that the Lord gives to certain individuals in Babylon even. It says, verse 20, hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab the son of Coliah, and of Zedekiah the son of Maaseiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have committed villainy in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know. And look at here. I am a witness, saith the Lord. So there's two false prophets that are signaled out here. Ahab, the son of Coliah, verse 21, and Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah. So, in God's letter to the exile, again, through Jeremiah, what we're reading here is the inspired word of God. Whether Jeremiah actually spoke these words or not, it's the inspired word of God. And he addressed very specifically these two individuals who had considered themselves to be prophets and set themselves forth as prophets. It's interesting that both of them were named after a wicked king of Israel, Ahab, and the other, a wicked king of Judah, Zedekiah. I don't know whether their families thought so highly of these kings that they named them after them. But the Lord says that he would deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. and that he would slay them. It's because there are some that go along preaching lies for a while and seem to get away with it. Let this be a warning that the Lord will call all people into account, and particularly false preachers, unless the Lord grants his grace to turn their hearts, then they will die the death of the unrighteous, regardless of how they appear unto others. And apparently here, Ahab and Zedekiah were among the prophets that lied to the people. Remember, we saw that last time. Perhaps telling them that this captivity would not last too long, as we saw last time, just 2 years, and then this will all be over, even though the Lord said it would be 70. But also that somehow those that remained and had not yet gone. See, this is where people get in trouble, because they're listening to men rather than the word of the Lord. And they impose themselves as God's prophets upon the people, and yet the Lord, the testimony that the Lord gives of them there in verse 21 is that they prophesy a lie. Anything that is not in accord with this word, to the testimony, to align to the testimony, if it's not according to this word, then the truth is not in them. There's no light in them, is the way the Lord declares it. And so violent would be their death, because here the Lord said he was going to slay them before their eyes. They would be taken. These that were false, giving false promises, false assurance, would be the first to be slain in a very violent way, roasted in the fire. If you look at the Hammurabi Code, which was the Babylonian code for justice, that this was the punishment for treason. And it's interesting that Nebuchadnezzar would be the one exercising God's judgment on these two false prophets for their treason, preaching falsely, and that their manner of living, here it says in verse 23, because they have committed villainy in Israel, have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and have spoken lying words in my name. They were very corrupt men, and yet all the while professing to represent a holy and a sovereign God. And even though some of this may not have been public, yet God is the witness. He said, I am a witness. And therefore, the purpose that these men should die such a terrible death, and that it would become, as it says there, in verse 22, a curse or a slogan, basically, that if you wanted to curse somebody, that you would say to them, the Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab. That was a curse that began now to be populated throughout the land. Such was their death. And so in verses 24 to 28, we find another man here that's mentioned, a letter to Shemaiah. Thus shalt thou also speak to Shemaiah the Nehelamite, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. These must have been men that were well known in that day, like many of our popular preachers we have today. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts and the God of Israel, saying, because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord, for every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldst put him in prison and in the stocks. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? For therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, this captivity is long. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. That's the word the Lord gave to Jeremiah. But now this Shemaiah here is one that is addressed here, and he was sending letters to the high priest Zephaniah. That's not the prophet. We have the book Zephaniah, but this was the high priest, and telling him to stop and punish every man who is demanded and considers himself a prophet. What he was really after was Jeremiah. He was trying to attack Jeremiah by making such a decree. And that's what he says there. Ultimately, we read that. Why have you, verse 27, not rebuked Jeremiah? Shemaiah wanted Zephaniah to do everything he could to oppose and discredit Jeremiah, denying his message that they would be in exile for a long time and should make the best of it. You stand up and preach against health, wealth, and prosperity preachers, you're going to find some of those getting upset at you because they have people under their influence. Just that's who this Shemaiah was. And so seeking to oppose the one true prophet of God, Jeremiah. But the Lord addressed this word to him. And verses 29 to 32, and Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because that Shemaiah had prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed, and he shall not have a man to dwell among the people, this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. It's not a light thing to influence people away from what the word of the Lord is clearly declared. And so Zephaniah, the priest, read this letter in the hearing of Jeremiah. He was the one that was targeted all along. And Jeremiah heard the letter, really exalting Shemaiah, but criticizing him. But the Lord directed Jeremiah to respond with a prophetic declaration against Shemaiah. And God declared that he would punish not only this false prophet, but his entire family, his seed. And they would die out without any descendants and never see the good that he would do for his people. Never see the return back into the land that God had said he would do after those 70 years. So we see in this the struggle that there is between the truth and those that the Lord raises up to declare his glory and all others. You might ask yourself, why do people follow these false prophets? Because it pleases them. They want it to be so. Men would rather in their depravity believe a lie than to believe the truth. But the Lord will always have the glory, and truth will always have its day. Precious Father, thank you for this reading, how somber it is. And I pray that you would cause us to be thankful for your deliverance, in that we were born in this world in the same blindness and darkness, and perhaps even for a while followed after false teaching, false preachers, seeking after that which pleased our own flesh and thoughts. And then in your mercy, it pleased you to reveal Christ in us and turn us away from every false under shepherd and turn us to the one true shepherd, even as Christ said that his sheep, a stranger, they would not follow. And I thank you for the example of Jeremiah, how you sustained him in his day against all opposition, even as a type of Christ who came unto his own received him not. And yet you glorified him through his person, his work. And it's in his name that we gather every time we worship, and pray that you would give us hearts to glorify him alone. and give you the praise and honor and glory in his precious name. Amen.